If you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time, all of the time.
Good morning and welcome to the September the 20th, 2022 edition of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. Again, thank you for tuning in. And if you would like to be a participant in today's show, you can do that by dialing 516-453-9921. And when you do that, if you have something to say, just press the number one button, and you will get in rotation for your call to be answered by Mr. Fuller, or if you want to give a short, emphasis on short, VGQ, just short message. Please do not make it long. Please do not do that, because we only have a time frame window that we can actually entertain questions like that. And if you go into a great length, then it compromises other people who may want to just have a question. So please, ma'am, please, sir, make sure you do that. Now, if you are a first-time caller new to the show, please let the call screener know, and we have a special program set up for you that your call will get through. They will inform me that it is a new caller. In addition to to the old callers, as you have been noticing, we have at the very end of the program, or as we get near to it, we have what they call, they let me know, a last caller feature, and that will be the last call of the day. So just be aware of that, because we work effortlessly to try to stay within that two-hour window that we have. Let's see. You can also now contact the show by using my Gmail address, which is the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. And your question may or may not be answered today. Probably will not do that, but you can certainly do that. And at a point in time in the future, it will be addressed. You can also go to the chat room by going to blogtalkradio.com. Then you want to click on where it says programs. And then when you do that, the Produce Justice Show is on the menu. You press that button, and then the chat room becomes available for you to do that. And you can go in there and get with the latest chat. And we'd like to thank Constructive Action Items for giving us a review of last week's show and good information on there. So you may want to take a look at that. Everybody in there, for the most part, speaks and acts and lives in a codified manner. So please, ma'am, please, sir, you may want to take note of that. Okay, I think that is it. All the books are in, yes. And for all the latest information on this show or with Mr. Fuller, you can go to producejustice.com, and that will give you the latest information, past shows and podcasts. You can listen to that. And the issue that we were having with the Carl Nelson show has now been resolved. So you can listen to the entire show if you missed it. It's on there. So we thank the team for doing that and getting that together. Thank you. And we also want to thank Mr. Fuller legal team for the information that they did to take care of certain issues that arise. So it's all professional, and we thank them for doing that. Now, to go on with the show, let's do this. Let me present to some and introduce to others Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. Mr. Fuller, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Okay, 4 minutes into the show, and Mr. Fuller, we have a feature called the thoughts, what's on the mind, the thoughts and expressions from Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. So, Mr. Fuller, what is on your mind, or what would you like to express starting out this September the 20th show?
Focus. And that will be occurring, reoccurring to focus. Focus on what? Focus on what are we here for? We meaning who? Whom? What people am I talking about? What should be the focus of the people who are here in the universe? Well, we're here in the universe, and our focus should be whatever the main things that people should be doing, why they're put here in the first place, that should be the focus. That should be the focus every day, no matter where on the planet people are. Why are you here? Why are we all here? Everything that is here. Here meaning what? The things, the creatures, the animals, the insects, and mainly the people who are, presumably, the most powerful creatures among all the other creatures here on planet Earth in this environment. There are creatures called people. So what are the people here for? Well, I came to the conclusion, hopefully correctly, some years ago, looking around, thinking about it, watching it, looking at myself, and asking that question, what am I here for? And I came to the conclusion, hopefully, correctly, we're here to solve problems. So I keep that as a focus. Every day, that's my focus. When I wake up, when I think about things, I say, well, really, why was I born? What am I here for? What is everybody here for? And like I said, it always comes up, must be to solve problems. How did I come to that conclusion? That we creatures who are called people are here to solve problems, everybody without exception, here to solve problems? Is that the answer to that question? And I always come up with a yes. Now, how did I come to that conclusion? Must have some basis for it, because we have problems. We could have been born, everybody, with no problems at all. Some people who have studied ancient history said, when you go back to the first people who were on the planet, there were no problems to solve. Everything was perfect. But since then, because somebody tampered with this perfect situation, things fell into disarray. So therefore, since people caused it, people are supposed to be using all of the two things they're given, time and energy, which is what everybody has when they're born, to solve the problems that people made before the people who are now here were here. Solve those problems that the people made prior to who is here now, like myself included. Solve those problems that they made. You say, well, and that's it? As far as I know, that's the only logical conclusion to come to, that everything was like it ought to be at one time, and people decided they were going to make it into something else, something that should not be, and they came in the form of what we call problems now. So, okay, if we we, meaning the people who are on the planet now, come to the conclusion we're here to solve problems because we have problems. The problems follow you wherever you go. Whatever you set out to do, there is a problem connected with it. People say that I have plenty of problems, and I get up every morning, I mean, trying to go to work, trying to do this, trying to do that. I got bills to pay, that's a problem. I'm trying to find a house that's big enough for me and the people who I'm trying to call my family, and I'm having problems even with my family because they have problems, individual problems, and I'm trying to solve their problems along with them making problems for me, or I'm making problems for them, they say, and then they say I have to have something like a job or a profession. That's a problem. In order to be here on the planet, I just can't be here and somebody else just going to solve whatever problems I have, that I have to participate in the problem solving. That's what everybody tells me. I have to have things called money, et cetera, et cetera. So bottom line, we're here to solve problems, apparently. Might not have originally been that way, but that's the way it is now. So, you say, well, what's the biggest problem out of all the problems to be solved? So I concluded in the 1950s, well, the biggest problem seems to be something called racism. And if you can't solve that problem, you're going to continue to have every other type of problem you can name. Now, that could be an incorrect conclusion on the part of Neely Fuller Jr. in the 1950s, which means if Neely Fuller Jr., which is what I'm doing now, is working on what he says is the biggest problem, replacing the system of white supremacy, which is racism, with justice, and that is the biggest problem, and he's got it in error, then that means he's wasted all of the time and energy that he has been given up to this point, because he's been working on the incorrect problem since the 1950s. On top of wasting all the time that he had been given since then. So it comes down to that here in 2022, September, which is where we are now. Is that still the main problem to be solved? Or is Neely Fuller wasting his time continuously? Time he's been given, not really his time, it was given to him to use. And is he telling everybody else that's how they should be using their time? And he's in error. So we want to keep what I said, the key word here, focus on what is it that we people on this planet are supposed to be doing right this minute. Are we supposed to be solving problems or not? And is that problem racism more than any other problem? So we have to have that focus. Otherwise, we're going to continue to have problems because people like Neely Fuller and people who say, well, no, racism is not the problem, something else is. But we still have problems, all people, even if Neely Fuller is found to be incorrect. Why do we have these other problems? And why haven't we solved them? But we want to keep focused. my focus is on solving the race problem first. I could be in error. And the people listening to this program, if that's not the conclusion that you have come to, then you need to be listening to another program and saying that the problem is elsewhere. There's another problem that's greater than the problem of racism. Here again, I'm saying, why did I choose racism? Because racism seems to have chosen me and everybody else, white and non-white, as the biggest problem. White people complain. These dark-skinned people are a problem. They are a problem. They're just in the way most of the time, and we have to contend with them because there's so many of them, so many people of color, and they seem to be capable of nothing but getting in the way of progress. And we ourselves will hang our heads and say, well, that is a problem, but you are causing it. You, meaning the people who practice this thing called racism. But in all areas of activity, economics, people want to do what? Well, we've got an economic problem. Well, why do we have an economic problem? Well, you know, all these people, dark-skinned people talking about they're refugees and, you know, gimme, gimme, gimme. And that's the core of it. I mean, they and this and that, everything connected with them. I mean, there's nothing progressive getting anything done. Economics, education, gimme, gimme, gimme. We need, now my children got to get educated. Well, education is the process of just learning how to get things done. So don't you know how to get something done without bothering me, a white person? Just running behind me all the time talking about you need an education and I got to give it to you. Why can't you educate yourself? Running behind me all the time. Well, because you seem to know quite a bit and all like that. How did I get to know quite a bit? By trying to find things out. You all just busy running around in circles, showing off, partying all the time. And when it comes to growing any food or watching the environment or learning how to do anything that makes sense other than harm each other when you're not doing nothing else, just running behind me in education, entertainment. You can entertain yourself, but when you fall down exhausted from doing that, next thing you want me to do is come and clean up the mess, because a lot of your entertainment consists of doing great harm to each other. Can't have a party without gunfire. And then you come crying to me talking about I need to clean it up. And then when I try to clean it up, you charge me with all kinds of stuff like being brutal. Well, how am I going to clean it up without being brutal? You're brutal to each other. So that's what my thoughts are this morning.
Okay.
So I've tried to write a book, and I'm on the air right now saying, yes, this is the problem that we have. And if you're not concentrating on that, you're not trying to do anything to use your time and energy that you have been given in the correct way. If you're not trying to solve this problem.
Yes, sir. Okay. Focus for today's program, September the 20th, 2022. You are listening to Victims of Racism Radio, VOR. Thank you, Mr. Sims, for that, or Sams. Also called the Counter-Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller a junior. I think I may have a few acronyms for that. But anyway, let's proceed on with the show, keeping in mind focus. And let's do this. Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., I am a non-white male from the United Kingdom. As you've heard, the Queen has died, and the last 10 days have been all about mourning. Now, I don't know what to think or feel. I feel so confused. The whole show has been spectacular. Why are people so upset about a queen dying at age 96? And how does that affect non-white people in the United Kingdom, since we are in the system of white supremacy? The Queen never paid my bills. So why do people keep saying the Queen did her righteous duty serving her country with dignity? What does that even mean? I mean, should I feel guilty of not being upset, Mr. Fuller? The Queen lived a privileged life in a big palace. And also, Mr. Fuller, please explain to me, if you can, how monarchy came about. Thank you for your time. This is Son from the United Kingdom. Mr. Fuller?
I'll answer the last question first. How did monarchy come about? I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know who the first monarch was anywhere on the planet. First of all, what do we mean by monarch? According to most dictionaries, it means a person who says, I'm in charge of everybody else, and you do what I say. You come to me for everything, and I give you advice, and you carry out that advice, and things get done. Now, that's what I understand monarchy to mean. One person that you go to for everything, know-it-all. That's the go-to person. All right? So what I've observed, though, in answer to both questions, is that according to the evidence of history, has shown that many of the people of the known universe have shown that they have a great desire to imitate the creator of the universe. The evidence shows that. Many of the people here on this planet have displayed tendencies that they have the desire to imitate their creator. Well, in order to imitate your creator, you have to know a whole lot. Because whatever created people probably created a whole bunch of other things. So it means you have a whole lot of knowledge of how to get things done in the best and correct manner. So if you're going to imitate someone who has already done that, or some force, some people call it Allah, others call it God, the Great Spirit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So some people want to be seen as imitation gods on earth. Now, the people who do that, usually the people who say that that's what they're doing, I mean, that they're God's creatures and they're next in command, they've been singled out as being somebody special among all the other billions of people. Say, me, 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 look at me. Don't look at all those others. I'm special. I have a creator, but I'm the next best thing to the creator walking around here now. So everybody look at me. That's what you call monarchy or royal. Everybody look at me. Look at me for what? Look at me as being just about the next best thing to your creator, if not equal to your creator. And so they want to be praised as such. And that's why people line up and say, the monarchy is coming by. Everybody stop what you're doing and run and praise the king or the queen or the prince. You know, over a period of time, they just probably had one person, but then other people got jealous and started saying, I'd like to be that too.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be called, well, we're not going to have two queens, you know, or two kings at once and whatnot. But I tell you what, you know, you can be the next best thing. You can be a duke or an earl. And so a person will say, well, Prince, I can't be, you know, you tell me I can't be equal to you. I can't be the king, and you're the king. So I'll be, see what else you got, you know. Okay, and so they started handing out other little titles, I mean, to keep people from always trying to cut your throat, because they want to be king or queen. And history has shown that people did a whole lot of that. I want to be king. You call yourself the king, and what's so special about you, you got to be the king. You ain't got no more sense than I got. A whole lot less, really. So I'm going to take that title. And the reason and the way that I'm going to take it, I'm going to eliminate you. So a whole lot of kings and queens have found themselves killed by people who started out supporting them. So monarchy, that's what I have seen. And that's what's been reported to me. I don't know much about monarchy and all like that, but I do know this. The greatest royal system itself here in 2022 is the system of white supremacy. And in that system, every person classified as white is a member of the royal family. And the displays that were shown in the last few days kind of substantiate that theory, which is what I'm putting out right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a theory that the textbook for victims of white supremacy is based on.
Okay.
In answer to the question, the greatest royal system on the planet in 2022, in answer to the person's question about all this monarchy and royalism, the greatest monarchy is those white people who are monarchs. And what is a white person who is a monarch? A white person who practices white supremacy. They are all royal. And people who are considered non-white are non-royal. This is why there are some non-white people, a lot of them, who call themselves tribal kings and queens. All down through what I've been told is history. But none of them come anywhere close to somebody white who is a monarch. They're definitely on the sidelines. They're definitely part of the crowd.
Okay.
Waving handkerchiefs or whatever, or throwing money at the real monarchs, who are the white supremacists of this planet here in 2022.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Fuller, for answering that person's question. Let's break it here. You are listening to the Counter Racist Code Show. I call it many names, Victims of Racism Radio or Counter Racist Radio, but the real name is the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. Get in contact with this show, or to get in contact with the show, You already know the numbers if you are a regular listener. 561-453-9921. And if you are a first-time caller, please, ma'am, please, sir, just press button number one, and then you will get in line. Indicate to the call screener that you are a first-time caller, and you will be put in a special category where you can be heard. You can also Gmail me for your question by going to my Gmail address, which is the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. And lastly, you can go into the chat room by going to blogtalkradio.com, clicking on the programs. When you get that, then the Produce Justice Show is within that list. Hit that, and then the chat room will come up, and then you can get in that and join the chatters. You can do that. Okay, all the books are in. Everything that Mr. Fuller talks about can be obtained by going to producejustice.com. That's right, producejustice.com. Now, let's go to the phone lines. And speaking of that, from last week, here she is. Thank you. Let's see if I can get her up here. Thank you, Nicole. Get ready. See if I can move you up here. Okay, Nicole, get ready. Are you ready? Because I'm getting ready to come to you. Ready? Here we go. Nicole, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. I wanted to kind of have a concept from last week and lead into today, so it's going to be a two-minute spiel. I was going to say last week's show, Dick Gregory said, once the universe gives you glasses to see the world for what it is worth, you can never take them off. I feel that I'm in that position, which brings me to the current conversation of actually being producing justice or producing a better realm, which leads me to advertisement. Thank you for letting me use your airway for Love's Corner, which is spelled L-O-V-E apostrophe S C-O-R-N-E-R apostrophe E-D. I thank you, Mr. Fuller, for always educating or keeping the conversation going so that X generation, which I take it in consideration as a Malcolm X generation, my generation, no matter how late, as the good word says, that we still get to the end of something and creating some type of justice. So I thank you for always keeping this platform open. And then my arts to address the issue with the queen. My arts, too, to me, was a slap in the face of racism when Kansas City Negro team was called the My Arts. So it's a lot of symbolicness that keep people locked in and keep them confused. So I'm glad that you're helping people to end confusion. And thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Yeah, good job. All right, Nicole. All right. Let's see here. Who's next in line? Oh, man, Houston is representing in the house. Get ready, Big John. Cleo, you might be next, but let's go to Big John. John, let's see if you have helped solve that problem down there in Houston. Get ready, John. Okay, there you go.
Grand risings and blessings to you, Mr. Bobby, and to Mr. Fuller.
Thank you, sir.
Houston, we have a problem. And last week, the elder taught me that I am alone. And this morning, he is saying to focus. So then what is the problem? In responding to what the monarchy is and the elder's comments this morning, the monarchy is created by colonialism and imperialism. And we are now, I'm not sure what the timeline is, Mr. Bobby, on when the sun never sets. On the British Empire? You were taught
that,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I was taught that in public schools.
We were.
So the sun never sets on the empire. And empire is based of imperialism, right? And what are the problems that we have gotten from imperialism and colonization? I guess I'm proposing the questions first before I can focus on solving them, would you say?
Okay.
So the problems presented, and I'll use this as my VGQ to wrap it up, because I had wanted to ask something else, but I'm doing what the elder requested of me this morning. It's too focused. The Woman King, the movie, and the backlash that is coming primarily from the so-called black community is a reference to Dahomey's kingdom and participation in the Atlantic slave trade. all of which were elements of the British Empire. Do you follow what I'm saying, Mr. Bobby?
I do.
So
yes, sir.
If there was the problem of bondage, chattel slavery, human trafficking that was caused by the British Empire and the sun never setting on it because it's worldwide, I gather drawing together the elder's explanation that he's instructing me is that the only worldwide government is white supremacy, right? So then the residue and the problems created by white designation, by white domination, by white superiority requires there be no inferiority, whether you call them black, non-white, or whatever. So maybe I'm just rambling and I'm babbling in a lengthy VGQ, but I do want to try to focus on solving some piece of the problem, because until I am not treated as an inferior, I don't think we can address why certain people think themselves white and superior. So whether you feel that is a question, my elder, or not, then help us on what is the problem so that we can focus on solutions. And I would like to listen to the response. And thank you, Mr. Bobby, for the time. Have a great morning.
All right, John, you are on the line. Mr. Fuller, would you care to comment on John's question before we move on?
If I understand correctly, the question is, what is the problem? Was that the question?
Well, it was one of them there, but basically, okay.
Basically, that was here again, the word focus. What is the problem? Capital letters, neon line, neon sign, flashing. Las Vegas style. The problem. What is the problem? The problem is the system of white supremacy. That's the answer to the question. All other so-called problems flow from that one problem. So you have to have the white supremacy system is put together according to a code that makes it strong. It's the strongest system of government that the world has ever seen so far, to the best of my knowledge, in recorded history. So you have to have a code, since the white supremacists function according to a code, which means with precision getting things done that will support white supremacy. That's the white code. The system of white supremacy code. In order to counteract that, you have to have a precision code, which means a way of going about doing and saying things, and everything that you say and do in order to eliminate the white code and replace it with what? Something better. And something better than the white code would be a system of justice based on a code, a way of doing things, that's all a code is, that will counteract what the white code is doing when it comes to dominating and mistreating people. Keeping it simple.
Okay.
You have to have one that is stronger. No one has come up with that code yet. Neely Fuller has been in the process of trying to come up with a way of counteracting that code. First of all, by getting people in the habit of saying that white supremacy is the problem, not one of the problems, that's the problem, that's the center stage, and get them to say that in a focused manner repeatedly. It can't just be one thing one day and something else the next day. And white supremacy, I mean, every time somebody like Mr. George Floyd gets gunned down, that's white supremacy. And then the next 5 minutes is something else. It's always white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Keep that focus and say so. You got to eliminate that entire system. Pecking around at the edges of it hasn't done it. All that's done is frustrate people, confuse people. No, you have to get rid of that problem before you can get rid of any other problem.
Yes. Okay.
That's it. The system of white supremacy in capital letters. Put it in capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
Neon sign capitals.
Okay.
I mean, flashing at you. I mean, all day long, because it really is. We're just
mm-hmm.
not seeing it. It's right there
mm-hmm.
in front of you.
Yes. Okay.
We talk about monarch and all like that. It's right in front of you.
In the front, but can't see.
Who,
all right.
Who are the monarchs of the planet? Who is it that everybody looks up to? Everybody, black babies in their arms talking about, I got to feed my baby. Where's the food? So who are these people holding these babies? What do they look like? And who do they look like while they're holding the babies that look like them? And who are they asking to alleviate this situation? The monarchs of this planet. And who are they? The white supremacists. That's
the
who.
Supremacists.
I'm
mm-hmm.
telling you that. But people are calling in saying, what is he talking about? I just said it.
Okay.
You don't have to call it by a whole lot of other fancy names. You can do that. But it all adds up to one thing, the system of white supremacy. That is the Earth's problem. Among people on this planet. I don't know about other planets, but that's the biggest problem on this planet. And you're not going to solve any other problem without solving that problem.
Yes, sir.
That's an absolute.
That's an absolute. Okay. All right. Thank you, John, for listening. And, John, for your information, if I may add, there's a book by Chancellor Williams called The Destruction of the Black Civilization. Now, I'm getting ready to mess this name up, but I think he speaks about the woman king, one of the woman kings in there, women king. I think her name was Ninja, but I can't pronounce that, but you might want to check that out. She was very fierce, and also the state of California was supposedly named after a black queen at that time named Califia. They changed it, air quotes, to California, but you may want to check those out and see. If there's any validity to that. All right. Thank you, John. Okay. Staying in Houston, Cleo. Get ready, man. Get ready, Cleo. Cleo. Here we go. Landing at Hobby Airport. Here we go. All right, Cleo, you're on.
Good morning. Long live NFJ and forever live Logic. Mr. Bobby, you know I'm always grateful for you sharing Robert and Moon Pie and the work y'all do in helping Mr. Fuller. In
yes,
this
sir.
Noble work, man, I'm so appreciative. Mr. Fuller, in staying focused on seeking to address the biggest problem, racism, white supremacy, and understanding that we can't fix any other problems without addressing that one, how do you reconcile that with the reality that you still have a large populace of non-white people who don't see themselves or project themselves or understand themselves to be victims? And I know they have a right to do that, but isn't that counterproductive to the overall work and to making significant gains with achieving solving that problem? What say you, sir?
Yes.
Hmm.
If I say that I haven't been robbed, you know, the law enforcement people show up and they say, well, somebody reported a robbery. Were you the person that reported a robbery? And I have the idea that I haven't been robbed. So I tell the law enforcement officer, it wasn't me. I didn't call you. I haven't been robbed. Nothing's been taken from me. Everything's just fine with me. So if a black person says that, Ain't no such thing as white supremacy. Ain't nobody supreme over me. I do what I want to. Now, there are people who are in what we call prison who have what you call, a lot of people will say, they have lost their minds. They will say, you know, they walk around grinning all day, you know, eyes bugged and grinning and saying, oh, I'm in paradise. This is happy land. This is wonderful. Everything is beautiful. Life is wonderful. And they're walking around in prison. And so the other prisoner, the cellmate, for example, says, hey, man, you're as like as I was. Or you are as fulsome. You're in prison. You're doing triple life. No, I'm not. I'm in paradise. This is paradise. You're looking at it all wrong. I mean, something wrong with you. I mean, the food is great. I mean, and these walls are protecting me from the animals outside. And I like it here, don't you? There's something wrong with you. See, so in answer to the question, yes. A movie, Shawshank Redemption, kind of touched on that. It's called being institutionalized. That you've been a slave so long, you don't even know that you're a slave. Because that's all you ever knew. You never knew anything else. So you don't know what you don't know. You know, if you never learned anything else, you don't know. You just don't know. So if you're born in prison, prison is great. Because you never knew anything else. So in answer to the question, you cannot solve the race problem until the victims admit that they are victims. Now, the white supremacists will try to shame black people into saying that they are not victims. But that's a part of the power of the white supremacists. Well, you're not a victim. Racism doesn't exist. Well, racism, what's that? Oh, you're not being persecuted because you're black. You know, you're not even being persecuted. You're complaining about nothing. You're in paradise. You couldn't be better off under any other circumstance than you are right now. That's impossible. With me telling you what to do. Nothing is better than that. And so if I'm not a thinker, and not looking around and not paying attention to details, I can be talked into thinking like that and say, well, you know, now that you say it, it must be true. I'm complaining about nothing. So, what am I to do? Say, well, be happy. Laugh all the time. Laugh at everything. Except what I just told you. You can be pleased about that. But you can be happy about it. So are you happy? Well, now that you put it that way and I listen to you and you talking to me and you seem to know a few things. Yeah, I didn't know that I was happy, but I am happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. So I'm going to laugh all the time because I'm happy. That's what you told me to do, right? Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do, boy. You know, be happy with what you got, with whatever I give you. Okay, all right. That's us.
Okay. Wow. All righty. Thank you, Cleo. Thank you very much. Tell you what we're going to do, past tense. We're going to go over to this great city, a city of many. Hail to the Big Blue, the Mets, the Jets, and the Yankees, and in that order, because I don't really like the Yankees. But I do like this brother here. Toussaint be in Brooklyn. You are on, brother. You are on. Go ahead. And see if I can get you in here. Okay, okay, there you go, Toussaint.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm here with a quick one this morning. You guys are talking about the Woman King. As of late, I feel as though, Mr. Fuller, you've spoken about how the system of white supremacy refines itself over a period of time. And I feel like white supremacy is starting to entrench itself, which I'm sure it already has been entrenching itself in our community, in the black community, amongst black male and female. And I feel as though what's going on now, there was a conversation, Mr. Fuller, I asked you about a month or two ago about there were a group of black women considering themselves divestors, separating from the black community, advocating for the abortion of black male fetuses because they say that black males are, once they are brought into this world, they will not do anything of consequence. And so that being said, Mr. Fuller, with this major motion film, The Woman King, coming out, which glorifies the slave traders of the Dahomey Kingdom, would it be one accurate to say that we should be suspicious of other non-white individuals, non-white males, non-white females? But two, Mr. Fuller, how would you suggest that we do the most, how would you suggest that we respond constructively in response to, I guess, the hatred that certain black women are starting to develop for black men in the system of white supremacy?
How would we do what?
How would we how would we respond in the most constructive manner to the hatred or the to the hatred that black women, specific, certain black women, are developing towards black males and vice versa? The gender war, quote unquote. I'm not sure if this is something that you've been hearing about, where black male and female conflict is starting to rise, even in terms of ideology. So I'm asking, what is the most constructive way for us to go about navigating this so that we can become universal men and universal women?
That's why I wrote the book, and that's why I'm on this program. You pointed out. All you need is just to tell the truth about what's going on. Just tell it. Just like what you just said. You just pointed out. That's how you do it. We're missing, and this happens all the time. When we do that, we're doing it. See, we have to know what we're doing. If a person is looking at something on the grocery shelf and they say, those look like cherries, and say, those are not cherries. Those are avocados. They may look like cherries through this frosted glass or something, but they're avocados. So what do you do when a person is saying, yeah, but those are cherries in that case? And you're standing next to the person, standing next to the person, and they're saying, I'm going to get a bag of cherries, but you work at the store. You just put the avocados in there. You know that they're avocados, and you know that the person is not in the frosted glass, thinks that they're seeing something that they're not seeing. So it's real simple, folks. You tell the person, ma'am, sir, those are not cherries, even though there's a sign on the wall saying that they're cherries. They need to take that sign down, because in this case, if you slide the case cover back so that you can see everything clearly, you will see, ma'am, sir, that they are avocados and not cherries, even though the sign says cherries. And it's logical that you would think that you were looking at cherries when you're looking at avocados. That sign needs to be taken down, because signs don't always indicate what the real truth is. And they'll say, well, why are you telling me this? Because I thought you wanted to know. I know what the truth is, and you apparently didn't, because I know that those are avocados. Now, that's all counter-racism is. Find out what's really going on and tell it just like it is.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to know, do that, you have to first find out what is going on yourself. You have to know the difference between avocados and cherries, or you're spreading confusion if you don't know and you're trying to tell somebody else. Just point it out, folks. I mean, people call in. I mean, we're doing it now. We're saying, what's the solution? Well, if somebody's saying something that's not true, all you got to do is just say something that is true. That's it. It's hard for people to deny the truth once it's been revealed, and then they can see it. You slide the case back, the cover for the case, so that you're not looking through the frosted glass. You say, yeah, those are avocados. Yeah, but through this frosted glass and with the sign saying they were cherries, I naturally thought they were cherries. Now, I don't think that. Duh. Counter-racism is just that simple. It's not complicated at all. But you first got to say you're looking at racism and point it out. And ask the person that you're talking to, now that I have pointed it out, do you see what I'm looking at?
Okay.
The code book says, in racial matters, many look, but few see. See what? See what they're looking at. You're looking right at it, but you don't see it.
But they don't see it, yes. Okay. And that brings us to this right here as we close out the first hour. You have been listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Nellie Fuller Jr. And we have 2 hours, and the first hour is just about gone. So because it is, we're going to say thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. And if you have to go, then we hope to you will tune in again next week with your questions or comments, or like a lot of people are doing. We have a lot of people on the line who are just listening. So thank you. All the materials that have been talked about by Mr. Fuller, you can obtain, including but not limited to his books. You can go to producejustice.com. That is producejustice.com. Mr. Fuller, in the remaining 1 minute that we have in the first hour, the floor is yours.
Well, I would just second the motion on that. Go to producejustice.com. That will give you some type of start. And keep listening to this program and programs similar to this that point out that the problem is racism in the form of white supremacy. And when people say, well, no, the problem is something bigger than that, then ask questions. All problems are solved through the process of questions and answers. You
okay.
Say, well, what is bigger than racism? I mean, show it to me. Show it to me. I mean, you know, explain it to me so that I'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, and that will include Nellie Fuller. You can call in and tell Nellie Fuller, no, Nellie Fuller got it all wrong. The problem is, and name whatever the problem is. And I'll consider that. even though I hear it all the time. People tell me what the problem is all the time. Problem is lack of love. Problem is this. Problem is that and whatnot. I say, well, how come you have the problem of a lack of love? Because the racists define what love is.
Huh. Okay. You know what I mean? All right. Well, anyway, everybody, you've been listening to the first hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. So stay tuned for the second hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Fuller and your co-host, Mr. Bobby. That would be me, which will commence in 5 seconds. All righty. Good morning and welcome to the second hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. This can also be affectionately known as, I told you that I love you. Now get out, radio. Nah, just the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller. That was a pun that I heard Mr. Fuller talk about. That was a song long time ago. I told you to love you, now get out. Love was a theme a few weeks ago. But the theme of today's show is to focus. So we have Focus Radio today. Okay, Focus Radio, right here for victims of racism, which we all are. Some don't know it. But anyway, to get in contact with this show, as Marcus just did, thank you, Marcus, you can do this. Call this number, 516-453-9921. And when you do that, press the number one button. Now, I don't know if Robert, I don't know if Sharon or my buddy Moon Pie will answer the phone. I don't know who. But when whoever does, give them your name so that you can get in line. They can print it up, and I can say your name, hopefully, without mispronouncing your name. I don't want to be like misbehaving with Nell Carter. Man, that was a great show. I like that. But anyway, Mr. Fuller is going to be talking about things in his book in every aspect, and you should pay suggested rather that you pay attention because all of these are suggestions. And you can get that book, all three publications, by going to producejustice.com. That is producejustice.com. Now, in addition to the phone number, you can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com, and your Gmail will go into rotation, and it will be read, or possibly read, at a certain point in time. And, of course, you can also join the chatters in the chat room by going to blogtalkradio.com. You want to click on Programs, and the Produce Justice Show will come up. And when it does, just click on that, and you are in the chat room. Yeah. And, man, them folks in there be codified. So make sure that you do that. Thank you, Swa. I see you're in the house. All right. All righty. All righty. Let's do this. Let's see. I believe we did have Darnell, didn't we? Yeah, we had Darnell. I know we did. We had Toussaint. Darnell, Brooklyn. Yeah, we got you. There you go, Darnell. Talk to us. Oh, hey, Darnell, look like you got, I must have clicked you off. I am so sorry if I did that. All right, Marcus, left coast, you're on. Do your thing, man.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller kind of answered my question within the last question that was answered, to be completely honest. But another one that I did have was, Mr. Fuller, could you talk about the experiences that you've seen or heard about racism within the sports industry?
Racism in the sports industry? Yes, that comes under entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Racism is in everything that people do. Nine areas of activity. I say it all the time on this program and all through the book, the code book that you get by going to producejustice.com. What are those nine areas of activity? Economics, education, entertainment. That includes baseball, football, you name it. Labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Everything that people are involved in 24 hours a day all over planet Earth is dominated by racism. Everything, no exceptions. If a person can name something that I haven't named that is not dominated by those white people who believe in white supremacy, I want to know what it is. I haven't had anybody in all these years name anything that isn't. And if you think that you can come up with something, you, meaning this whole listening audience, name something that the white supremacists, when it comes to non-white people, are not in absolute control of, I want to hear about it. Name it. Name it. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. And those are the nine areas that I've come up with that they dominate. Now name something else that they don't dominate, that black people have a blank check on and the white supremacists have no control over it all. And black people are totally involved in it. And that's black people's thing. And the white supremacists are trying to get in and don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
Name it. So in answer to your question, you're talking about sports. I said everything. Underlined. And I want everybody to understand that. I keep saying that. And it seems like even the listeners that listen to this program all the time keep missing that. Everything, every move you make, every breath you take, the white supremacists are in charge of it because they're in charge of you before you were born. Now, that's either true or false.
All righty. Thank you, Marcus. Though, do not be a stranger to the program, but then I don't even know why I'm telling you that because you're not a stranger. You call in all the time, and we appreciate that. Okay, Mr. Fuller, it's from the Gmails. This is from Mr. Johnson. He says this, tragic or truth, logic, further. Repair actions, document chronic trauma, generational trauma, disabled, black vet research, old-fashioned, thankful, G14 classified, finding an answer, solving problem. Mr. Fuller, I wish I could and think I know too much now. I'm kind of down for a while. No work in a year, savings dried up, fighting for and exercising my constitutional rights. I am of Ward 8. I am of the Southeast D.C. District. I understand the problem. It came through my front door, cop can, how to sue a police officer. The court route is not to be discouraged. Mr. Fuller Jr., I am saying is we need to advance the message. Do your research and make your own decision. Don't follow me. Follow the logic of Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, you have any suggestions?
Suggestions about what?
About his situation what? that
yes.
I read at the beginning.
Replace the system of white supremacy in a codified manner with the system of justice, which means guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. That's the compensatory definition for justice. That's the goal of getting rid of white supremacy. If we're just going to replace white supremacy with another form of non-justice, what would be the point? So I'm saying this whole program, the whole reason for me talking right now. Now, you're saying that racism exists in Southeast Washington. Racism exists all over the planet 24 hours a day. No exceptions. No nooks and crannies to hide from it in, if you're a person of color. And so every move that you make, everything that you think, say, and do should be directed toward, whether you are bumbling and fumbling with it, which you most likely will be doing, or not. You're supposed to be trying to replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. And you can say it just like that all day long if people press you to explain what it is you're trying to do. And you say you're doing it, like at the beginning of this program, to the best of your knowledge. That's what you were put here for. And you can put it in the form of a question. Was I put here to do that or not? You can ask anybody that. What was I put here for, if not to replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice? Name what it is I'm supposed to be doing. And listen for the answer and be ready with about another 200,000 or 300,000 questions if those answers don't add up to what you just said. If you don't come full circle around, so to whomever you're talking to, as long as they're disagreeing with what you're saying and saying something else, codification, counter-racist science says, you just take them right back where they started from and say, I'm put here to replace the system of white supremacy with justice. Now, I don't care how we start out and what we talk about and what anybody says about anything, that's where I am going to take this conversation every time. It's going to wind up being that same thing. So I'll tell you that right up front.
Yes.
Even if we start out talking on this day and for the next 3,000 years, and this situation is what it is right now, that's where I'm going to take the conversation. I'm not going to take it nowhere else. And I'm not going to participate in it going nowhere else where I don't take it in that direction and wind up right where we're starting from. That the system of white supremacy is here, and my job is to replace it with a system of justice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anything that you say, anything that anybody says is contrary to that, I'll listen, but I'm going to take that conversation right back where we started from.
Yes, sir.
That's
okay.
Code.
That's code. All righty. Let me go here, and let's do this. I think we got him back. Darnell, I'm going to try this again, see if we can get you back in here. Darnell, did we get you back? Nope. Dropped him again. Something is going on. That's not good. Let's try this. Let's go back down into Texas. And Delbert, let's see here. Delbert, see if we can get you.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Good morning, Delbert.
Mr. Fuller, if the white race is the only race, then what is the purpose of designating people as a race on a birth certificate? Thank you.
You can ask people who made the certificate. That's the answer. See, when people make up, when people say anything, and a certificate has some information on it, a certificate, you look at the information, and you say, who wrote this? If you didn't write it, that's the first thing you want to know. Who wrote this? And then if you can find out who wrote it, you ask that person questions. Why did you say what you said? And wait for an answer. Don't argue about the answer, but have another question. That's the compensatory codified way.
Mm-hmm.
So in answer to the question, you have to look at the certificate. And if you have a question about anything on that certificate, ask who made the certificate. That's the codified, logical way. Like the code says, always follow the logic. Now, Neely Fuller didn't make up no certificate saying that. I said that the white race is the only race. When you start talking about racism, race is racism. And there is no other race. There are racial classifications, and there are three, according to the code. White,
okay.
Non-white, and white supremacists. That's it. Anything else that anybody else writes, Neely Fuller, I got a whole bunch of questions about what they wrote. That's, and I want answers to each one of those questions, including, why did you say this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's supposed to be, I say right now, for what I've read, is something but somewhere between 20 and 23 racial classifications here in 2022.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying, according to what I have written, it's not but three. And I am absolutely confused about anything else that anybody presents me that doesn't say that.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I don't know what this is.
Yes,
and
sir.
I don't believe it either. If I don't know something, I ain't gonna say I know something and then say I believe it.
Yeah.
And I don't know it.
I know that.
No, I'm going to go with what I know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So
I don't know anything about all these other so-called classifications.
Classifications. Yes, sir. I know that when you and I first start conversating, you've always been consistent with that, with those three. But what I've noticed, it went from 15. Now you say that you've heard that there are 21 or 23 racial classifications?
In the Northwestern Hemisphere, I think there's something like 21. That's the last one.
Oh, 21, okay.
I counted them in one time. I think there was 21.
I think they added two more.
But actually, in 1860, the census in the Northwestern Hemisphere, they had three. But it was white, black, and mulatto. But I say there's white, non-white, and white supremacists. These are the compensatory classifications that I have given it, because I'm saying that's revealing the truth. These other classifications are flat out not true. I don't care who wrote it.
Mm-hmm. So the evidence supports what you just said.
That's what I'm saying. If you go by the evidence, yes.
Okay.
I mean, saying that there's a color called Pacific Islander. Because, see, race is all about color.
Yeah.
It's not about anything else.
Yeah.
It's about
color. Yeah.
But, see, the white supremacists now, I'm charging them with or accusing them of saying race is not about color. It's about color sometimes. But there are other factors.
Yes, sir.
But the basis for it is color.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's what you started with.
But the race is
now trying to call it a little of everything. There's some kind of, you know, Well, they'll say, are they saying that the space race is racism? See, more confusion.
Yeah. Yeah, only thing that does is space you out.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, there you go. You get spaced out behind that.
Okay. Let's try this again. Darnell, I don't know what's going on. It's probably something that I'm doing, but I'm going to try to – wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. Look like we dropped again? What the – okay, we will do this. I don't like that, but anyway, let's do this. Okay. How about this one, Mr. Fuller? This is from the Gmail. Okay. All righty. All these problems. The usual suspects up. They appear to be, but that's okay. This comes from Daryl. Says this, Mr. Fuller, you teach us that in whatever we do, that it should be like two dribbles and a slam dunk without any plan around or hesitation. And that's what I'm about to do with my VGQ on this new film, The Woman King. The Woman King, starring Viola Davis, was written and produced by a handful of suspected white supremacist feminists who are using a historical event and group like the Dahomey Amazons to promote this idea of black females being the warrior class and the leaders of the black race, where black men take a back seat and watch as the women lead the way in battle and beyond, just like they've always wanted it. These are liberal white supremacists behind this film, and they've always sought to protect their issues with their white men onto black men going back to the 1960s and 70s with the Women's Lib movement. And unfortunately, a number amongst the black masses ain't going for it. We see right through the propaganda, thanks in large part to your teachings, which have taught us how to analyze a film and which critical questions we need to ask along the way. So don't be fooled by the wayward thinking black folks praising the film, including Carl Nelson and Dr. Ray Ray Wimbush. It's come from Daryl. Mr. Fuller, your comment on that, please.
Well, I'm not familiar with the film,
okay,
but I will say what the code says. The white supremacists do not do anything without the intention of strengthening the system of white supremacy, period.
Okay.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Just nail that down. If the white supremacists have anything to do with the making of that movie, they got one intention: to give strength to the system of white supremacy, period. That's it. You don't have to consider anything else. How it's put together, who's in it, and all like that. You say, the white supremacists have anything to do with this? Just one white supremacist. Did it have anything to do with this making of this movie? A white supremacist. A white person who believes in white supremacy. Yes or no? And if the answer is yes, well, that white supremacist didn't have no intention of doing anything with this movie that was not going to give strength to the system of white supremacy. Unquote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's code. That's why we need a code, where you slam dunk everything. You don't keep dribbling around in a circle wondering where the net is.
Okay. And with that, we'll do this. Let's take a little break here a little early here. You are listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. here on blogtalkradio.com and also at producejustice.com if you're on the replay or podcast. Now, while you're listening to the live show, you can call in at this number, 516-453-9921. Press the number one button, and you will get in line. And if you are a new caller, let the call screener know that you are a new caller. They will inform me that you are on, and you get expedited. Yes, you do, to the next caller status. So make sure you do that. Be sure also that you give them your name so that Mr. Bobby can properly announce your name. Bear in mind that I mess up a lot of names. I try to get better on that. You can also email me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. And I will get it and read it at the appropriate time. And you can also do this. Get into the chat room by going to blogtalkradio.com, click on programs, and the Produce Justice Show will come up. And then when it does, just get into that chat room, and man, let me tell you something. B-Sams is waiting on you. Constructive Action Items is waiting on there. What is this? Excerpt. Cha-Cha 19 is in there. Justice Warrior. Thank you. Triple Eight. Which Rita is in there, and Tex Green 777. All these triples in here. They're all in there. They're waiting on you. They be waiting. Yeah. So don't go in there playing, because these people are codified. Oh, yeah. Codified. You can also do that. Now, we'd like for you to go ahead and call in. I don't know what the problem is. It's probably on my end, because some calls have been dropped, in particular Darnell, which has dropped 3 times. Darnell, if you're still listening, go ahead and give me one more call, and I'm going to try to get you in. And if not, then, you know, we can get you in next week, because you do call in. So we do thank you for that. Okay. And I do read the Gmails, as I just did, as Daryl has written in. So we appreciate that and let Mr. Fuller answer that. Okay, moving on with the show here. Let's do this. Now, we've been talking about this all during this program and every show that we have. Mr. Fuller always talks about this, and it is imperative. Remember, today's show started off with today's word is focus. Mr. Fuller, we're going to focus in on your books. Let's go. Let's talk about your books before we move on.
Well, there are thousands of books. Many of them, millions of books, really, and many of the millions are about what to do about racism. In my book, The Compensatory Code, is about what to do about racism. Just that simple. It's just one among many. Hopefully, there will be many more by other people. If they help to do what? Replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. Anything that helps to do that is what I call a code book. It might be just a couple of code pages in a book that's not really about racism according to the cover. It's about something else, sociology or whatever. But you find something in that book or in that newspaper or on a tape of some type of electronic device that helps you to think, speak, and or act in a manner that helps to replace the system of racism with the system of justice. So that's a part of what we call codification. So that's just a label. Code means a way of getting things done that need to be done. That's what the code means. So I've tried to write a book where you show the individual person, the individual victim of racism, specifically in a focused manner, what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say, in each and every area of activity that will best help to replace the system of racism with the system of justice. And a few suggestions about, in the same process, make suggestions about what can be perceived as a universal man and a universal woman who are in correct tune, quote unquote, with everything that is of constructive value in the known universe. This planet called Earth should be populated with nothing but people who are dedicated to thinking, speaking, and acting in a manner that produces two things, two words rather, one thing and two words, constructive results in everything that we do and say, and in everything that we avoid doing and saying, produces constructive results. That will qualify us to be what ultimately every creature in the form of people, all people, should be. People who produce constructive results in all areas of activity. The most constructive results. Not just blandly constructive results or weak constructive results, but the very best, top-notch constructive results in everything that we do and say. All of our words having a constructive result. We write a song, it's going to produce a constructive result. Not going to write songs or play songs that don't produce constructive results. Why? Because that's what the universe needs. We should only produce what is needed. And those things that are non-constructive, get rid of them all. We won't miss them. We think we will, because we've been trained by the white supremacists to embrace everything that's stupid. But we want a world in which there's no stupidity at all. People don't do stupid stuff. And they enjoy doing things that produce constructive results. Now, that's the ultimate aim of the book that you can get by going to producejustice.com, the compensatory counter-racist code. This book is supposed to help you as a non-white person to achieve just what I just named, universal man, universal woman. But you got to get rid of the system of racism first, or in the process thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Producejustice.com.
Okay. I was making an observation here on the chat as you were speaking, Mr. Fuller, and this had slipped my mind. But one of our chatters, Justice Warrior, brought out this song, and I never really thought about it until Justice Warrior brought it up. And it's a song by the group called The Police. And it's called Somebody's Watching You. And some of the lyrics says, every breath you take and every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every single day and every single word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you. And it, what got my mind is that the group's name that coined this tune is called The Police. I just thought that was a very interesting correlation, that a group called The Police would do that. And we know that that we normally would call police are really could be suspected race soldiers in the law enforcement industry called the police. But those race soldiers do that, watch you. I just thought that was interesting. What do you think about that, Mr. Fuller, as you heard that? Me recite that.
Well, I think that the song exists. I think I've heard the song. I think it goes back to the 1970s, if I got
mm-hmm.
it correct.
I think you might be right, yes.
Yeah, but I never listened to the words too much. Never even knew the singing group that was singing it. But I remember hearing something similar to that.
Yeah.
The actual. But I would listen to it if I was listening to it. And I would just ask, now, what effect is this supposed to have on a person who listens to it? Because that's what the code says. When
mm-hmm.
you hear anybody sing a song, first thing you should think about, what is this song supposed to achieve? Is it going to achieve a constructive result or a non-constructive result? And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you ask about any song and anybody who's singing a song. What is supposed to be the constructive result of this song being invented by somebody and presented by somebody? What's supposed to be the constructive effect? The
yes,
constructive
sir.
Results. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And draw your own conclusions based on what you see the effect is.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I heard, you know, of that song, and that lyric is going through my head right now, and I never thought about it in the way that Justice Warrior pointed out. My thoughts went to the group Sly and the Family Stone with Sister, whatever her name was, singing it. Somebody's watching you. It was different. It was sort of, I won't say jazzy, but it was a very popular R&B. They made it seem that way. But I never thought about that. So every breath you take, every move you make, every smile you fake, I'll be watching you. And it seems to be true. Anyway, let's go out to L.A. L.A., L.A. The land of make-believe, but Swa is there, and he's real. Swa, talk to me, bro.
Greetings, Mr. Bobby. Greetings, Mr. Nelly Ford Jr.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Nelly Ford Jr., what do you think will happen when millions of non-white people are attempting counter-racist logic and begging and demanding for a system of justice? What do you think will happen when that happens?
When black people?
When non-white people.
Non-white people.
Mm-hmm.
What do I think will happen when non-white people do what?
Millions of us are begging and demanding for justice.
Well, I don't know what will happen, but I'm saying, I hope it's my intention. I'm on this program right now saying that the system of white supremacy will be replaced with the system of justice. That's why I'm on this program right now. That's what my focus is. Now, whether that will happen when everybody says that it should happen, I don't see any reason for it not to happen. And so I think that it will happen. Because my job is to try to make it happen. If I understand the question in the first place.
Okay. All right, Swa, there you go. There's your answer there. And thank you. Thank you for your call. Mr. Fuller, one of the conversations in the chat room has been surrounding your comments about the birth certificate, but one of the interesting conversations has come up. Let me see if I can get it down here. Some of the birth certificates have Negro on it, the older ones. I think some of them even have colored on there when it says came to race. Now they have black on there. But one observation said, you take like black. Separate the word. It's got lack in it. Now, when you lack something, you're doing without. Reply was, and white naturally has lack in it, yet it rules the world and is the sign of so-called purity or cleanliness. But then constructive action of items heard, I heard somewhere that black used to mean, quote, white, quote, bleach, end of quote. White people lack melanin. Mr. Fuller, have you heard such conversations like that, or what say you concerning conversations and things like that, knowing that people have the absolute right to speak what they want to speak? But with your experience, what does the evidence show?
The evidence show that people are classified racially, functionally, white, non-white, and white supremacists. But you have to be a white person in order to be a white supremacist. Now, what about the white people who are not white supremacists? They're not white supremacists. And who are they? Well, the usual logical thought would be those white people who are not able to be white supremacists would not be suspected of being white supremacists. And who are the white people who are not able? Those who are senile, don't know one color from another to that extent, they're not able to be white supremacists because, logically speaking, you have to know one color from another. And that would also include white babies who have
mm-hmm.
not learned the difference between one color and another.
Okay.
Because the first requirement for being a racist is you have to know one color from another. You cannot be a racist without knowing one color from another.
Okay.
You don't know the difference between brown and blue. Because your mind doesn't work that way.
All right.
Racism
well,
is first of all in the mind, according
okay.
to counter-racist science.
Okay, I think I get that. But then that would make me beg this question, you know, and ask questions. It's excluding the white babies. Those white people that you just stated may not be a white supremacist. I think what I'm missing is the word could. Could they be suspected as being a white supremacist?
Any white person who is able to be a white supremacist should be suspected of being one.
Oh, now should be.
Yes.
Okay, now you interjected the word able in there.
Only if they are able, and they are only able to be a white supremacist if they know one color from another. Now, it's logical to suspect that a newborn white baby does not know one color from another.
Okay, I get that one, yes.
Now, if a person who is not a white infant baby, that person should be suspected of being a white supremacist because the person might be able to tell one color from another.
Might be able. Okay.
Yes. So being in that might be category, they should be suspected of being a white supremacist.
Okay. Now I
until
get
when?
It.
Until proven different. Proven to whom? By anybody who does the suspecting.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
now
the way
that why
works.
You say it, words are important.
Logically speaking, and in the interest of justice, it can't be any other way. It can't be. Talking about justice now. You have to suspect every white person who is able to be a racist of being a racist. That's a requirement. According to what? Compensatory counter-racist logic. That's what. That's why I say we need a code. That's absolute. It ain't personal. It's business.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, who is this? Tesno was talking about that song that I had mentioned about every breath you take and every step you make. And the person that wrote that is correct, and the song was talking about a girl, I think that's what he said. I was getting ready to write you back, Tez knows. Let me see if I can get this right. Every breath you take, every song, oh, the song was about a girlfriend, had nothing to do with race. I understand that, but I was drawing a comparison as to what seems to be happening today among suspected race soldiers that do populate the police department. There is a distinction there. I will grant you that. But looking beyond that, the potential was there that they could be, or it could be, suspected of things that are tangent or present now. That's all, Tesnos. Okay. All right. Got that? Okay. I see what you say, Mr. Fuller, when you said about understanding words, which brings me to why you wrote or included the word guide in your publications, and could you speak about that right now?
Right, that's an addition to the basic book, and that's a word guide. It's not a dictionary as such. A dictionary just tells you how people use words, how they're already using the English language. I just have it in the English language. I'd like to have it in all other languages, too. But right now it's just in the English language. But the word guide in the English language, there are ways that you can use words that will help you to counter racism. You can take the same words that the races use, but you can use them in such a way that, in effect, they will counter the races are doing. They will work against what the races are doing. And so that's why I wrote it. And one of the main ways that you go about doing it in the English language is to know what questions to ask about certain words. Like a person says America, for example. You say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean by America? And don't help with the answer. That's very important. When you ask a person a question, don't start talking about what you think the answer ought to be. You want the person whom you ask to say what that person is thinking the answer is. You want the other person, the person that you're asking, to answer the question. You already know what you're thinking, and so you don't advance that. You leave that alone altogether. You don't tell them what you think the answer ought to be, unless they ask you. But when you ask anybody a question, you want the answer that they have. And then if they give an answer that you're confused about, you're not supposed to be confused if somebody's giving you an answer to a question. So that means what? Logically speaking, you ask another question until you're not confused. The whole point for asking a question is to get rid of confusion. Keep that in mind. You're not trying to add to confusion. You're trying to eliminate confusion. Why? Because one of the laws of the universe is that all problems are solved through the process of questions and answers. No exceptions. All problems are solved through the process of questions and answers. How many questions and answers? As many as it takes to solve the problem. It might take 10 questions and 10 answers to solve one problem. Or it might take 10 million questions and 10 million answers. Because for every question, there is an answer. Just because you don't know it doesn't say the question doesn't have an answer. Every question has an answer. Even from in function, the initial answer is I don't know. A person will ask a question, and the other person, they're asking another person a question, and they say, I want the answer to this question. And the person says, I don't know the answer to that question. That's the answer. I don't know. But that's the initial answer, because now there's another question. The logical question now is, is there any way for me to find out? And that's the codified procedure, by the way. Once you discover you need to know something and you don't know it, that means your next question is, how can I find out the answer to this question that I have? Otherwise, why do you need the answer in the first place?
Okay.
You be consistent about that and persistent. And keep asking questions until you finally get what? The answer to the question. Because there is an answer to every question that's ever been asked. It's a matter of finding out what it is.
It brings me back to the opening statement that you made in the Thoughts and Expressions for this day, the 20th of September, 2022. You mentioned at the very top of the program of the word focus, focus. And for what you said or just said, that it is apparent that focus is vital to what we are trying to accomplish or not to do, because you can do something or not to do it. Would that be an accurate assessment in your opinion?
Yes. When you get ready to do anything, you should be focused on what it is you're getting ready to do, and then try to think ahead and be focused on thinking ahead. What's going to be the result? And it's going to fall in one of two categories, constructive or non-constructive. When you get ready to do anything, it's going to have a constructive effect or a non-constructive effect. There's no such thing as in between. And that's everything from catching an airplane to sitting down to a plate of food. When you put your fork into that food and then put that food in your mouth, it's going to do what? It's going to have a constructive effect or non-constructive effect. When you drink whatever's in that bottle. It's going to have a constructive effect or a non-constructive effect. There's no such thing as in between. We have to think that way.
Yes.
And try to make every move that we make, including everything that we say, to have what? A constructive result. Constructive result. If it doesn't have a constructive result, back to the drawing board and start asking questions about what the constructive result is and how do you get it.
And how do you get it? And it takes focus.
It takes focus to do that.
That means
everything that the non-white people on this planet should be focused on is replacing the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. Why? Because you can't solve any other major problem on this planet without doing that among people. You have to have a justice system if you're going to even start thinking about making, quote-unquote, the world as it ought to be, which everybody says. That's a wonderful thing. But very few people are seriously working to achieve that.
Yes,
very few.
And I know as I have been around the quote-unquote barnyard a few times, I noticed that I am strolling instead of running, walking and observing the different things, and I have seen this before. In other words, this isn't my first rodeo, and I'm still learning the things that I'm viewing. And sometimes it's somewhat amazing or even to be able to conversate, even with you, knowing what to do or what not to do, say or what not to say. And still learning.
Sure. Still learn. That's the key. Because there are oceans of things that need to be known and understood that we even haven't scratched the surface. So we're always, according to the code, according to logic, should have a mind focused on I'm still learning. Learning what? Everything that needs to be known to make everything the way it ought to be. That's what. Producejustice.com. That's the first one.
Producejustice.com. Well, Mr. Fuller, and to all of my fine listeners, didn't have a last caller today, but that's going to be about the last statement as we come down to the last a minute and 30 seconds of the of today's program. Thank you very kindly for listening. Thank you for all of your calls. Thank you for the chats, the things that were said in there. It's just been just marvelous. Mr. Fuller, thank you again for your wisdom or your thoughts or, as you would say, your suggestions. And the last minute, Mr. Fuller, is going to be yours, so take it away.
Focus on producing justice. That's the name of this program, the title, the overall title, the umbrella title, producejustice.com. That's what we're supposed to be producing. Focus on that. That's why you're breathing, to produce a thing called justice and correctness, the imbalance with people and things here in this universe. And that should be your focus. That's why you're born. Keep focusing on that.
Keep focusing on that. Again, thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, callers. May Yahweh bless everybody and have a wonderful week. Stay codified, and we hope to speak to you next week. Thank you. We'll be right back.